Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about, we have a variety of options we can talk about. We can talk about Sunshine, the 2007 science fiction psychological
thing. Nothing you can say could add to it.
What did you talk about? You said, yeah, it's pretty good, Danny Boyle, man.
Yeah, man.
I agree, Danny Boyle, good director. It's visually good.
He doesn't really make a bad film for the most part.
Well, I never saw that vacuuming completely nude in London or whatever the hell it was.
Did you see Life Less Ordinary?
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't mind it. I like his soundtrack choices usually. In this, it's pretty sparse, and Sunshine's pretty sparse, but it's really visually pretty strong. They don't waste a lot of time with like setting stuff up. They basically just explain real quick with some exposition, and then they get going on the story.
Right.
And that Cillian Murphy guy, like, he always looks so sinister, but I like it when he plays like not a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like it when there are actors that just you feel are like gonna turn out to be the bad guy in the story if it goes on, and
right.
Then they're not. I don't know. That just seems, because usually it's like the jerk that kind of is like, ah, fuck, whatever, you know. And those are more interesting antagonists or protagonists to me, I guess. So yeah, I mean, it was a pretty straightforward storyline. Yeah, y'all done there? Got
yeah.
One more left in ya?
I'm gonna be doing that all night, man. Made in China.
Yep. Nothing but quality for me. Figure we've already sold most of the country to China. What would it hurt for me to...
I imagine that you probably did think that before you bought
it. Buy my H2 handy. No, I didn't know where it was. I'm sure I bought it from an American company that probably outsourced the production to China. So, whatever. Global economics is what it is. But this isn't about global economics. Or is it? It's about saving the Earth with... by restarting the sun, I guess. Which,
all right.
I don't know. Fine premise. They never really explain how they have gravity on the ship, I don't think. But
they mention at some point that the gravity generator uses up so much power.
Yeah, they kind of are able to like just put it in a nondescript future, so it could be a long time from now, like
right.
2,000 years or something, because they have some pretty high-end technology. But, you know, people are still the same, so...
People never change, man.
Nope.
People never change.
So, yeah.
Seasons change.
To take off a space warmer.
I'd sacrifice tomorrow just to have you here today.
Was that Chaka Khan again or whatever?
I don't know, it might be. It sounds like someone much worse than Chaka Khan. I'll have to look it up.
You will, but you won't.
Maybe I will, man. Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
Get sick of your negative comments on my reviews, Ian.
They're not usually negative. Usually they're just, you know, like making a point about something.
Yeah, making an argument.
Well, what? You're not a fan of discussion?
I'm not a fan of you, Ian.
Ooh. If I created a Facebook fan page for Ian?
I would find a way to dislike it. Do you like all my pictures of Willy Wonka?
Oh, in your review
yeah.
for... That is actually a clever angle you came up with
yeah.
there. I like that.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah!
Uh-huh.
Talked to my buddy Donovan today.
Now, he's one of those male hood rats you were talking about?
I don't know if he's a male hood rat, because I think hood rats are at least somewhat desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really large version of Captain Spaulding.
Captain Spaulding.
Was that his name?
Spaulding Gray?
Captain Spaulding from the Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses.
I never saw
What? No. What? I had to get closer to the mic to be that incredulous.
I'm sure you did.
I'm surprised you haven't seen Devil's Rejects.
Really? Are you that surprised? There's a lot of things I haven't seen.
That's considered like a new cultural touchstone.
No, is it?
It is. Yeah.
That's the Rob Zombie movie?
Mm-hmm. That's the second
Thousand
one. It's maybe the only good one he ever made, according to most people. I didn't like the second one.
Okay.
But...
So you didn't like Thousand... You didn't like...
I hated it. The House of Thousand Corpses was awful. It was horrendously bad.
But it's the touchstone. Cultural touchstone.
But the second one is cultural touchstone, yeah, because it...
Oh, there's two? There's two House
yeah.
of Thousand Corpses?
Devil's Rejects is the sequel.
Oh, I see. And that's the one you like.
No.
So you don't like either of them?
I don't like either of them. Devil's Rejects was tolerable.
Okay.
But that's the one everyone loves. It's got this... 70s, it's like a real class thing. It's like the movie seriously, like, very deeply examines class and
Weird.
And
I don't see how
it,
I
could it's, do no, it's, you'd have to see them. You'd have to see them, I understand. And unfortunately, you'd have to watch the first one.
Yeah.
It ends up being interesting, and it's more stylistically well done, and it's almost just like kind of a road thriller thing, but at the same time, it's one of those torture porn
deals.
It was one of the instigators of that whole genre, so it's not like it was copying anything. That was one of the first, for sure.
Speaking of torture porn, Seth and I made a point of watching that Hard Candy movie with your buddy Alvin Page.
My good buddy.
Which isn't really a torture porn, because they kind of don't really get too graphic, I guess. They kind of toy with the idea, but never really do. And I don't know. I felt like it was a badly written play, I guess. It tried to bring up things and then sort of failed to flesh them out in a proper way. And in the end, it just sort of like made it clear that, you know, who was good and who was bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a lot of ambiguity, where I thought it would have been a more interesting story had they kind of gone more with that angle, I guess. But maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a backstory there. Maybe there's studio pressure to make it more straightforward and something, I don't know. Was Ellen Page really like 14 or 15 when they made that? Or was she like, I don't know how old she is. I don't know anything about her backstory.
I'm guessing she was like 16.
I thought she did well. I mean, I thought as an actress...
She's a decent actress. Yeah. I can't stand her...
I could see that, yeah.
Her tics and everything she does. I don't like it.
Her mannerisms.
Yep.
She's like a female Woody Allen, kind of?
No, more like a female Nev Campbell.
Okay, I getcha. That's true. Especially in that movie, she really was like a...
It's not as bad as Kristen Stewart, but she's pretty bad.
Really? The Veronica Mars or whatever? The only thing I think I saw her in was...
Kristen Stewart, Twilight.
Oh,
Adventureland.
Okay. Oh, okay. I haven't seen
the biopic coming out.
I haven't seen anything with her in it, I don't think. Luke's friend?
Yeah.
Nice.
Held the door open for her, and she pretty much cursed him to hell.
That's interesting. I don't even know how something like that would go down.
So she might have dragged him to hell.
That would have been cool.
And he was like, no. The end.
Very nonchalant Luke-like.
Yeah, man.
He'd find a way to, like...
I think he probably would have found a way to... make the whole scene even more awkward by being even more polite.
Is he a pretty polite guy? I guess.
He's very polite. Yeah, he's a really polite person.
Well, he'll make it big then eventually.
Mm. Politeness is the key to every successful story, I think.
I think it is to the right people.
Genghis Khan?
Mm-hmm.
100% courteous.
Well, you're nice to the...
Chivalrous.
He was a gentleman. Nice to the people you need to be nice to, you know?
Very sorry to have to do this, but I have to murder your whole family. I apologize. You understand, of course.
Well, it was a different time, you know? What are you going to say? Different time. Different place.
If you had to choose one method to murder someone, how would it be?
Well, I mean, you know, you're not really addressing any of the more relevant...
If you had to choose one method...
Well, but what is it? Is it out of like rage or for money, or is it just like straightforward? Like,
let's see. Considering
euthanasia,
it's probably out of rage.
But because somebody wronged me and I'm justified in destroying
them.
Well,
in your mind, you're justified. Yes.
If I'm justified in my mind,
how do you murder the wrongdoer?
Then you just
how do you gain comeuppance?
You murder him with your bare hands.
And what does that mean?
That means you beat and scratch and rip the shit out of him. Literally. Figuratively.
Ouch.
You do like what was it now? Heihachi does in the Tekken movie, and you grab or King Kong. King Kong and
I can't believe you're name dropping Heihachi.
Yeah, I know. In the Tekken movie, and you grab the jaw,
right,
and you rip the mandible out. Mm-hmm. You could do that, of course. I wouldn't poke the eyes out because you want him to see it happen to them.
What if you poke them out just enough so that you can move them around and aim them at what you want?
Well, that requires a lot of.
Like, it would take a lot of like, yeah. You could get some clamps, some alligator clamps.
There's a little ninju, the youngest ninja or whatever.
Ninju,
yeah, ninju. The flash animation on the internet.
I thought you meant like a ninja Jew.
No,
that's what I was checking.
Ninju with a U, not a E W, not a U.
Anyone can spell Jew anyway.
It's not a baby lamb or whatever. No, just take them out. I mean. If time's not a factor, then yeah.
Well, say the factor was that pretty soon some of the other people sitting around the poker table were about to step in. They were eventually going to step in. Uh-huh. They were stunned at first, and then they're like, well, I might have to put a stop to this. And you had a limited period of time in which to murder.
Then you just strangle them with one hand.
And what do you do with the other hand? Hold them off? Ah! Like this?
I don't know. You just, like, you know, you throw in the chips that you lost. You give them your chips that you lost. Like,
you shove the chips down their throat.
Here you go.
You want these chips?
They're yours. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow night if we're playing poker.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have enough people, man.
I think we have enough people. There's already four. And then Four's Mark, like, and Josh, that's six.
Mark is playing.
He seemed cool with it. And Andy and Johnny.
When is he going to get there? Like 3 in the morning?
Yeah, he's going to show up at like 12:30.
What do you... Bring your friend Brian over if he wants to come.
Don't bring that guy over. Wait, Brian Fritz?
No, I mean, what's his name?
Oh, Bronch?
Bronch.
Bronch would want to bring his wife.
Well, so what?
So she... I don't know.
Would she be weird?
Maybe.
Why? She seemed cool when she was over here.
She's cool.
We talk about this off podcast.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because he might hear it.
No, just because it's not like our listeners care about our plans for our...
We do have hundreds of thousands of listeners, and they really aren't interested.
Well, we've been on for 2 years.
Have you seen the trailer for...
I have not seen District 9 trailer. I will watch it.
Have you seen the trailer for the Ricky Gervais Steve Merchant?
I have not seen that one either. I haven't seen either of the Ricky Gervais, the Lie to Me, Lying One, or
the trailer for the other one that has What's His Butt in it.
Steve Merchant? I heard it was...
No, not Steve Merchant. Well, Steve Merchant's in it also, but what's his name? Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, that... Okay.
Because he's in it. And
I've never seen him be funny.
He comes over. It's just the trailer is just them talking.
Uh-huh.
Him and Merchant. And he's like, hey, we got a new movie coming out. And it co-stars Mr. Ralph Fiennes. And Steve Merchant goes, Oscar winner, Ralph Fiennes. And Ralph Fiennes goes, no, just nominated.
Uh-huh.
And like he's super like straight faced the whole time and like keeps glancing around. It looks like he's gonna kill somebody. Uh-huh. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, well, you've done comedy before though, right? And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, well, what were you nominated for? And he goes, Schindler's List. And he's like, oh, Schindler's List. Well, you got any funny stories from the set? And he's like, no.
Okay, that sounds funny. Don't tell me anymore. I want to...
Well, that's pretty much the whole time.
It's called
Cemetery Row or something like that.
Yeah. It sounds like a horror movie.
It's not. It's basically The Office.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
They're branching.
I was watching Fame the second time.
The new one?
It's not even made yet? Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
He did the three parts. He did Science and Fame. And he had like three topics that were like loosely organized around some stand-up that he did. And the third one was called Fame. And he just sort of talked about...
I thought you meant the Debbie Allen thing.
No, it was some pretty good stuff. I mean, he's got some good bits. He drinks at Foster. Not one like that. Not a huge Foster.
What a pussy.
He drinks one like... Well, he's doing his show, you know? He's not out to
his family. You know, anyone... Like... There's certain beers that are basically the Budweiser of that country.
Right,
like
Foster's.
If someone was on stage, like...
Australian for Budweiser.
Foster's.
He drinks what he wants to drink, dude. Who cares?
I care. You should care, man.
Well, I don't care what other people...
You know, I heard he really likes Coheed.
I'm sure he does.
Well, he's drinking his Foster's.
Those things are $2 for $4 at Safeway.
That's not too bad. Seth should get in on that. He likes Foster's. Probably put
they got
under.
Those ones. They got the green ones.
Oh, the bitters. I don't know what the difference is.
Foster's bitters. One's a lager. One's an ale.
Yeah.
The other one tasted more.
But our hundreds of thousands of listeners don't want to care about that. I have this theory.
I don't think our hundreds of thousands of listeners want to hear anything.
We're like the Radiohead. Well, not like the Radiohead, but our podcast is the one that like other podcasters listen to but don't ever admit to.
Really?
Like they just don't want to bring up that they listen.
I'm pretty
to
sure that every single band listens to and admits listening to Radiohead.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's right. But.
So
it's
I
like,
think
it's
we're
like,
more like it's more likely that we're the Porcupine Tree of podcasts.
Is that a band nobody listens to?
Yeah,
that's a band you gave me a CD of because you needed extra spaces in your book.
Did you listen to it?
Not like once.
It's decent
it's
stuff.
Like,
it's pretty much
around somewhere in my.
It's pretty much
CD case.
Prog rock stuff.
Oh wow! Well, I think we'd bring a little more to the table. Maybe
than,
not.
Than prog rock. We bring
but
so
all
much less
rock.
To the table than prog rock.
How about pod rock?
Just
pod rock, man.
Hey,
Ian, I disagree. You should make a band. Sing our arguments.
Yeah.
We need to have a good argument on this, man. It's been a while since Blaine and I schooled you in Daryl the Blood.
It has been.
Did you not like that movie or something?
No, he liked it. He just thought that the guy was a great father.
I didn't think he was a great father, but I didn't think he was an utterly terrible father. Cause
I thought the whole point was that he was a terrible, awful human being who neglected his son. And used this adopted son just so that he'd get ahead in business.
He did that too, but he also did care about him.
No, he didn't care at all.
That's why he was so hurt at the end. That's why
he was hurt at the end because he was against him. It was all competition. This guy's whole life was competition.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the superficial analysis.
That's the deep analysis. That's okay. The deep non-Ian analysis.
Okay, fine. We can do
it's
that.
The right analysis.
Fine. I don't know, you should watch Synecdoche or something. Maybe you'd
hate
it.
I'm not watching that garbage.
Exactly. There you go. See, I liked it. You'd
I'm not watching
it.
That hipster stuff. You go ahead and watch your hipster movies.
I do have to admit, I will watch, I will indulge.
I'm going to start using that for everything.
Occasional
now,
things. Because of me? I know, I do use it more often than I should.
Gosh, yeah, now that the hipsters like Charlie Brown, I guess I got to stop reading that comic strip.
Charlie
the hipsters
Brown.
Hipsters love that stuff.
I'm
man.
Sure they all dress that
Ever
way.
Ever since
right?
the hipsters invented Taco Bell, Taco Bell hipsters
no
love
way,
that
man,
stuff.
That's corporate, that's evil. It's not
hipsters
vegan.
Drink water. I'm not touching this stuff, man.
Ah, it's not that bad. The reason not to drink water is because fish fuck in the water.
I'm pretty sure that they don't. They're just going to spray their seed all over the eggs on the ground. There's no banging going on.
Well,
they got knock
ends. They got knock ends.
They got
yeah.
knock ends. They just kind of roll in something. They're like, why do I feel this way around these eggs? Whoa!
Oh, I'm a fish. Here we go.
Is that when the fish, yeah, the noise of
it's
fish?
Chewbacca. Makes? They're quoting Chewbacca when they're down there.
Some Kashyyyk action going
yeah.
on. Huh?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. Solid debate. I don't know. Not I probably I like Public Enemies better than you and Mark, but I
yeah,
didn't love it, you know.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't.
You definitely gave it a positive review, which was unsettling. But
well, I didn't think it deserved a negative. I think like you, I think we were both on different sides of the mediocre fulcrum. You and Mark
I
were more on the like, eh, and I was more on the like.
I'm perfectly willing to give something I partially like a 2.5 out of 5
mm-hmm.
because I think that gives everyone every indication that. Yeah, I mean, mediocrity is not a question so much of, you know, mediocrity is I think should literally be 2.5. If something is only slightly mediocre, it's still mediocre. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know if there's like degrees. I think it's like it's good with many many flaws.
That's why 5 is such a great number because it's not really it's not really this like hard quantifiable thing. Like most of the stuff I review is somewhere between a 2.5 and a 4, which means. It's not fantastically
right.
fantastic, and it's not all that terrible. Otherwise, I probably just I'm not going to watch it. If I can usually judge stuff that's going to be a 1.5 or below, just off prejudice, trailers, whatever else, and I can be like, you know what, I love you, Beth Cooper. I'm not going to go see that shit. I'm not going to watch
that.
I'm not going
to
review it.
I've been waiting for days to watch that movie.
And you know what? I don't care. I can already tell
it's getting
that I'm
really
not going
to. Chris Columbus directed it.
Whoa.
Home Alone.
And
the first
two Harry
Potters.
Yeah. We could talk about how Seth might plowed through those.
Gosh, I think he
Seth
did.
Wanted to do plowing of a different kind the whole time, though.
Oh my gosh, of all the little British kids.
Oh boy. Ew.
Bring them over here. That's my Seth impression. Where'd those little British kids get to?
Suddenly Mike is, he sounds just like Jimmy McNulty from Punisher Warzone,
yeah,
huh? Man. Do you want an imaginary friend you want to pray to also?
That guy was so over the top.
Yeah, that was really crazy. I was thinking about that movie today. I was like cleaning some dishes or something, and I was like,
"You know what? I like that movie.
I like it.
It
a
had
lot.
Everything made up an action film. It was pretty much like Commando. It's
uh-huh.
it's ridiculously stupid, and it's like every time any bad guy says a line, you like laugh at it because it's so retarded.
Of course, it
the
should
brother.
Be.
And
it, yeah.
What's
oh,
his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, yeah.
Yummy,
Looney
yummy,
Ben.
Yummy,
yeah,
yummy,
Looney Ben Jim, dude.
Yeah. In my tummy.
How terrible. But I mean, like, I just asked you a question. I kept thinking about the Jamaican hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
Free Runners.
You're a fucking saint.
And then the guy getting the bazooka.
Oh, yeah. Sure. He just yeah, completely, like, vaporizes them midair as they're doing their sweet triple flip. The next, like, it's a sweet... Did you watch it?
Yeah, Seth and I watched
it. Yeah, it's a sweet movie, dude.
We watched it... Unfortunately, we watched it before we watched Saw 5, and so we were, like, falling asleep during Saw 5.
Oh,
we should have
gosh.
Followed it
no,
up.
No.
We timed it wrong. You know, end strong rather than start
you would
strong.
Have missed, then you would have fallen asleep before he punches that hermaphrodite guy's face in against the door jam.
No
smashes
way.
His head.
I would have been awake for that. I'm always awake for hermaphrodite punching.
And the reason I was thinking of it is because I was thinking of Tom Jane.
Uh-huh.
And how...
How he's hung.
Well, not just that, but I dislike him. And I think a lot of it has to do with Punisher. Because he's not... Every time I touch something... I think might be hot, but ends up being cold. For a split second, I think of the part in the Thomas Jane Punisher when he tells the guy he's going to torture him with a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "This is going to be so white hot that it's going to feel like freezing cold to you." mm-hmm. and that's how you know that it's damaging your nerves and killing basically. Yeah. And so he's frying this dude, and then it turns out after a while he's just sticking a popsicle on him.
Yeah,
and that kills the movie for multiple reasons. Number one, he saves a guy, like he's making friends and informants, and by the end he's got like this cabal of like funny people who follow mm-hmm. him around, and they're all buddies, and he saves
and
all their lives.
Yeah, sacks.
It's like basically it's like it was terrible.
It's like the young ones or something.
Yeah, it was awful. I was going to say two reasons, but I think that's pretty much it. And so in the second one, it's like he just he really is completely.
He's got Newman.
He's got Newman, but he
hell yeah he does
high five.
He's not really that much damn. Like They don't save those people. I mean, the film themselves, they all get jacked.
Mm-hmm.
Even Newman's mom gets her head blown off.
Her head is completely gone. Yeah, she's like, just a helpless old woman.
I think they kind of overcompensated, though. And I don't know if you can hate Tom Jane for Punisher 1, because it sounded like he and the director or whatever were like, yeah, we're going to get to the second one. We want to do it in New York. We're going to do it right. Like, this was all just establishing whatever stupid stuff. I don't know. That's what I heard, like, a rumor.
It's Thomas Jane. He's blonde.
I don't know if it's his fault, though.
It was like a nice Punisher. He can't play a super mean guy. He can't.
I know, but I don't know if
the meanest he gets was in Boogie Nights, and that's funny. That's a funny character.
Good point.
Like, him being really mean just gets funny.
I suppose you're right.
I know I'm right.
A lot of crazy guys. Who can play mean and it's scary and mean? Well, who really does? Especially in this era, everything's filtered through, like,
Gary
Iron Man actors. Okay, like what in Leon?
Yeah.
You think he's just mean? It's kind of a comedic element. He's so out
there,
of the top.
There's
and
comedic
crazy.
Stuff in it, but at every single
he's scary.
Moment, at every single moment, you think he could and would kill any of the people around him. Like he kills one of his guys earlier on, and then later on, like people mess up, and he looks at them, and they kind of shy away and stuff. Like
I don't know,
he's a brutal murderer. He's crazy.
But he's a DEA agent, and then
that makes it even worse.
I don't know. I think
playing for the.
I think he's scary in that scene where he finds Natalie Portman in the bathroom or whatever, and he's, like, combing his hair and stuff. Like, that scene is pretty frightening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
And so ever since then, I see him in anything.
What about True Romance, where he was, the guy thought it was White Boy Day? Remember? Yeah. This guy thinks it's White Boy Day.
This guy thinks it's White Boy Day.
Is it White Boy Day?
Nah.
Hey,
you
got to,
like, front.
That's a pretty good laugh.
Yeah.
That's how you sound.
And then,
when he was in
Slater
Fifth
shoots
Element.
Him the balls.
Yeah.
And then, always. He always just comes across as like I don't really think I would want to meet Gary Oldman or anything. Like, I'd be afraid of him.
He was perfect for Gordon.
I'd be afraid of him. He was perfect for Gordon, but even then he seems like he's about to snap at any time.
No, he seems in the Harry Potter movies.
Malkovich and Oldman.
When was Malkovich mean though?
Are you kidding?
Like in Line of Fire? Con Air?
Yeah, in the Line of Fire. Con Air.
I don't know. Some of that stuff is just too
Teddy KGB, man.
Maybe I'm just too ironical or something. I just see it all as being kind
you
of
are,
funny.
Man. I think you're a little too hipster. Once the hipsters took over, hipsters won.
They
came to you.
They turned me around.
You just,
Now I'm listening to Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
And
I'm
listening
that, like,
to Doves and everything.
Thing. I'm pretty sure that no hipsters listen to Doves.
I'm pretty sure nobody listens to Doves.
I actually have two of their albums.
So that makes you a hipster, right?
Hipster
I think it does. I listen to Radiohead.
No, that doesn't make anyone a hipster.
I don't know. What does then?
Single mothers from Louisiana listen to Radiohead.
Have to listen to, like, a Postal Service or something?
No. Hipsters listen to jazz.
No, they don't.
Yes.
They're not jazz guys.
Real hipsters don't listen to any mainstream music.
Listen to, like,
that's
White Stripes
hipsters.
And Black
no,
Keys and shit
not
like
a hipster.
That. What is that? That's like a second gen hip?
No, that's like...
Second gen hip?
That's a... That's one of the people that falls into the generations that follow Generation X, all the various generations. That
okay,
sort of person,
but that's just like, that's the...
It's not hipster. Hipster is beyond. Hipster is this elitist, intellectual...
Really? I thought... Are you
it's
sure
a
you're
certain
not
style
about,
of dress.
You sure you're not just talking about, like, intelligentsia
no,
of old?
No, hipster, man. Hipsters. It's a very particular style of dress.
Don't they have to be, like, in their, like... They can't be older than, like, 35, right?
No, they can't be older than 35. I don't know. Wait, there's definitely
then they would
people.
Be
like, Ira Glass is a hipster and stuff like that.
Hmm. Maybe.
That's a hipster, man.
Like a precursor?
That's
no, you're saying that, okay.
Yeah. The hipster.
What about, what's his name from way before with All American Tales or, like, Lake Will Be Gone and all that?
Garrison Keillor?
Everyone that loves
He's
that
too
shit
hokey.
Eats that shit up.
He's too hokey.
But they eat
that
it
was
up,
a great
they
show,
eat it up for irony, though, right?
No. It was good. I like Prairie Hunter Companion. I used to listen to that on the radio when I was a kid. It's good stuff. It was pretty funny. He's really, really funny. Good writer. Garrison Keillor. Speaking of All American Tale, what about some Hood Rats, man? Yeah.
That's kind of an ingenuous high five. I don't know what that was for.
Yeah, you were really tentative on that high five, man.
Well, I was just trying to make sure I did it right. I saw your wedding ring glisten, and I was right. Like, wow, how far you've fallen.
It was an immediate thing where you realized that I was just talking about Hood Rats, and I showed the wedding ring, and you're like, this guy's not qualified to tell me anything.
No, he's not qualified to tell me anything about Hood Rats at all.
Ryan probably has a little more qualifications.
Oh, I'm sure.
Ryan,
but
why don't you come over here and tell Ian about Hood Rats?
He's got texting to do. He had to plug his phone.
I'm not going to tell him about Hood Rats.
He's texting Hood Rats right now.
He doesn't want anything to do with Hood Rats this
year. Are you texting a Hood Rat?
He's not going to listen to you about Hood Rats. We've tried to convince him thousands of times.
I don't need the girl. I don't need the gun.
I just think you need to just clear it out once. And then after that, you'll be just so laid back. You'll be the Ian everyone knows you can be.
It'll be like transcending. It will finally be achieved. It'll be like at the end of the first Matrix movie.
You're going to start walking around holding jackets over your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
It's going to
cool.
be great. You're going to walk around.
I can do that now.
It'll be really hot. No, but you'll do it because you want to. You'll do it because you know it's the right thing to do. You're just going to walk around holding jackets over your shoulder like this.
And you're just going to walk into rooms and...
And what's that going to do?
You're always going to pop up, and then some hot girl's going to walk by, and you're going to pull up your shades and go, bow, bow, and you're going to do the thing where you do it a couple times, even though there's, like, nobody filming you.
Are you talking about the, like, what was it, the Schmidt Gay beer ad? Where they did the triple take with the sunglasses?
Yeah.
That's basically what you're drawing it off?
Salmon went.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And then, mm-hmm. after all that...
Yeah.
After that's done, you've conquered that. You've climbed that Everest.
Uh-huh.
Assuming she's that big.
Or K2.
Yeah.
Even bigger.
K2 isn't bigger than Everest. Everest is the biggest.
It depends on which year.
Say what now?
It does.
It depends on which year.
Yeah, they go...
You're talking about like in the future
the
when they nuke Everest?
No, they go... The elevations between the two, which one's taller, changes.
What are you talking
about? Literally, it does.
No, that's not true at all. You must have gone to a really retarded college.
I think I did.
Riverside, please. Bunch of Mexicans down there.
Bunch of all kinds of people.
I'm just kidding
there.
About Mexicans, by the way.
Did you go to clown college?
No, I didn't go. I didn't
like
go.
Steve-O.
I didn't go to Del Arte, even though it was about 10 minutes away from where I live. It's world renowned.
Yeah, world renowned Del Arte.
Commedia dell'arte.
Where all the people who have their 215 go to get away from and do something else with their lives.
So I'll give you a few minutes to think some stuff up. I gotta go make water.
Oh my gosh, dude.
What's up with your
this guy's bladder?
Dick.
This guy's bladder.
A kidney.
His bladder's so small.
How small is it?
It's so small that he has to urinate every 5 minutes.
Boom, psh, boom,
psh. I gotta look up this K2 Everest business. There's no way.
It depends on the time of year, man.
Because on top of Everest is like...
Mountains fluctuate.
80,000 feet of ice that melts in the hot summer and floods the earth. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to charge my phone.
Why don't you knock it off, man? We're here to hang out.
Exciting.
Dude, I gotta tell you, Wikipedia, which is never wrong, 100% peer-reviewed stuff, claims it's the highest mountain, and has been ever since they discovered that it was the highest mountain.
Do they actually bring up the whole K2 mythology then, or?
K2 mythology, like the mythology that says that it's actually the back of a dragon and it gets up every 20 years?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Second highest mountain on Earth.
Nope.
It says 28,221 feet.
Are we getting away from the Everest?
Everest is 29,029 feet.
Did you see that movie, K2, with Michael Biehn?
K2 is 28,002. It's almost 1,000 feet higher. How does that fluctuate?
I don't know.
Maybe. Where did you hear this from? Did you hear this from a hipster? Did Ira Glass tell you this?
No, I did not hear it from a hipster.
hear it from...
I heard it from my dad. I learned it from watching my dad tell me something.
What's the guy that you hate from that... the guy who was crapping on The Dark Knight you always talk about?
Oh, Nickel.
Yeah, Nickel.
Nickel, from, Nickel and the Boys over
the
in
Boys
plus,
over
in Plus One.
You always say Nickel and the Boys. Like he's got a team of people running numbers for him.
I'm sure it is. It's Nickel and the Boys over to M Plus One. Holla back.
I wonder what gossip Grammar Girl's up to.
I don't know, man. I think you got a thing for Grammar Girl. I think when you're going to make her your second wife, is that how that's going to
cap on that hoe. I'm going to put her 6 feet deep.
Wow. Just to give me something to have to edit out, huh?
Yeah, literally.
I love that.
Oh, you think that would count as a death threat?
I don't know. Unless you were talking about, like, you know, your 6 foot long cock.
Oh, man. That's totally... You're going to have to edit that out.
Nope, I'm going to keep that part.
But you're going to edit out where I said I'm going to murder Grammar Girl?
No, I'm going to have to keep that and then recontextualize it the way I just did by making it horrible, sexist.
I'm just going to keep...
Malarkey.
Keep saying things about murdering Grammar Girl all the way through this and see how you have fun with that. Well, how's that? Does that work? You're chewing on your nails now, man. This isn't...
I'm chewing on my finger, which is inexplicably losing skin off of
it. You were chewing on it kind of like Chris Farley would chew on it when he was pretending to be gay and things.
Whatever.
Rest in peace, Farley.
Like in Billy Madison, where he says something about the Spanish Armada, and he gives him the right date, and he kicks off his shirt, and he goes like this.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, Adam Sandler was so good back then.
Back in the day?
He was great.
He'll be good again.
You see funny people?
Funny people?
I don't know. I really like the part where the girl, Bridget Nielsen Romano, Bridget Nielsen Sampras, is like trying to give him the answers, and she says a Spanish Armada, and he starts naming dates, and she's like, she starts putting her clothes on. He's like, 1853, 1740, and he's like, please give me the answer. It's so mad. Yeah, that was great.
Oh man, Sandler. Funniest guy in the world. What the fuck are you doing?
You could argue that. I could argue that I don't think any of that Sandler
the early
stuff
funny.
I thought that one where he was the golf guy was okay, but it wasn't great.
That one where he was the golf guy. Like, you don't know.
Are
the
you?
Name
you're
of
kidding.
It.
No,
Billy
I thought
Madison,
that was Billy Madison.
Billy Madison
that's the Happy
and
Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore aren't the two. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I was saying that rather than watching Billy Madison, I would rather watch, like, Blank Check.
Well, that's questionable.
What about Encino Man? Do you
no,
prefer that?
No, Encino Man.
Dude, when somebody says about Encino Man, one of those things, you end in quotes, he's a cave.
He's a caveman.
Do you want to know what he really is? Shush. He's a caveman.
I'd rather watch Bill and Ted any day.
I haven't seen those in so long.
Bill and Ted is solid.
All those have, like, you watch those because you're like, oh, I like this as a kid. But Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore really are... They're the apex of the absurdist Conan O'Brien style.
I don't know.
It's the apex of
Cause,
it.
Because Sandler himself is just so...
Old Sandler, my friend. Old
Even old
Sandler.
Sandler. I never found any of his SNL sketches all that funny.
No, those aren't good. Those are pre-good old Sandler.
Well, okay. But good old Sandler...
He had like a two-movie
Good old Sandler was
where
those
he was,
two
I
movies.
We just found him like he was not likable. He was hateful and
yes.
angry. And
yes.
There was nothing redeeming or interesting
yes.
about him. And I just didn't, couldn't,
Ooh, what?
I couldn't relate to him.
Redeeming. What about the part in Billy Madison where they're doing the Scholastic Decathlon?
Uh-huh.
And his question is about... something about a business
Spanish
model.
Armada,
no, it's a business model about. In the 20th century. As it was something about the Industrial Revolution mm-hmm. and literature. That's what it was. And the only book he can think of is The Lost Puppy, which he learned in kindergarten like 5 weeks before or whatever. And so he's like, he can't think what to do. And he looks and sees Miss Lippy, who was his kindergarten teacher, sitting in the crowd. And she goes like this, like, you know what to do? And he's like... And then he starts talking about... the littlest puppy, like the pokey little puppy or whatever mm-hmm. it was, and then it cuts to him like it dissolves to him like gaining stride, like walking around, and he does this thing where he goes, and the lost child society, and he does this thing where he does close the one hand and points at someone, but he's got this face like it never once is like condescending. It's never condescending.
Okay,
that's great. That's the thing is that he's not condescending.
I'll give it to you to a degree, but. That stuff is funny. But just Sandler being the vehicle of it, like, I'm sorry, but, like, David Spade, Joe Dirt, I can get behind that. So Norm MacDonald, whatever. Oh, it's the same plot every time.
Do you remember that, though?
Norm MacDonald's in
that same part in Billy Madison, like, after he gives the response, like, the guy.
Yeah, he goes, and he gives that Marvel thing. Like, that was the most incomprehensible. And he says, we're all dumber for having heard it. He says something like, I give you a failing grade and may God have mercy on your soul.
And he's like, a simple no.
would have been okay, but whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, so I don't know. I just found, he just is like zero charisma all the time.
What?
He's always like,
You remember the part in Happy Gilmore? Like,
Ian's gonna get furious.
They're watching, when they're watching the, the dude, the head of the PGA or whatever, is, like, watching the video of him swearing, like, at the ball, and it's, like, all, like, bleeped out. That shit was hilarious.
But it's, like, barely bleeped out.
Yeah, like there's just, like, there'd be, like, one word. It's, like, and he's, like, son of a... Like, it's just all, like, cut up.
Yeah.
That shit was pretty funny.
And Shooter McGavin, Christopher McConnell.
That was funny. I can get behind
what's his name? Eric, whatever, who was in the West Wing, is the bad guy, Billy Madison. You don't like that guy?
I don't think I ever watched all of Billy Madison.
Oh my gosh!
the guy from Revenge of Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. Yeah,
whatever.
That guy. Sure. From West Wing?
Yeah. West Wing, blondish hair, spoofs up.
Puffy haired guy, yeah. Josh.
He makes some great faces in Billy Madison. There's a part where he asks, there's this guy who's always sweeping the floors in elementary school, the creepy janitor, and he goes, turns out that he's been a spy for him later, and he goes, give me all the information you got, and he pulls out these notes, and he's like, he says something ridiculous, like, Billy's favorite something is this, and he's like, what else you got, and he goes, and he, like, turns another page, and he's like, Miss Lippy's car is green. Like, get ready for this. And then that Eric guy makes he just goes like this. He goes, like, he slinks down into his chair, like he's gonna be sick or something. Like, the faces are great in those movies, man. They're perfect.
Okay.
What a great movie.
There's nothing wrong with those movies.
But there we go. There was the debate. You wanted to have a debate, so I fed you one.
Did we win?
You win.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Time will tell.
Like, how many high fives has that been this?
It's
three. Is it three?
It was you and him, me and him, you and me.
We just did a triangle of high fives.
It's universally beloved.
At some point tonight, we are going to do a three-way.